like a tunnel.
Last time I went in one, I was like, can you hold my pants? Because I wish I could. I got to run.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, thank you, sir. Folks, there was one thing I wanted to... There was one thing I wanted to announce. Oh, yeah. The Ladies Fellowship has been postponed until July. And I think, Laura, are you giving the devotion?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you ladies will have a nice time. I think it's going to be on Saturday. June was saying, is Saturday good for you?
Sunday after church.
Oh, after church?
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever you ladies
you
plan.
Want us to bring something? When it's still on.
So it's still on. I'm going to buy some stuff.
If I got, because I'm waiting for my little right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if she took up 268, but she did. Then I'll have 400.
Oh, boy. We need to pray that she'll release you from that. All right, let's grab our hymnals, folks, and we'll stand for our final hymn. This morning, 110.
And also,
Val?
We have our 2-year anniversary, the 30th of July.
Coming right up, isn't it?
Wow.
We should have a pizza party or something for that. I must tell Jesus, 110. And we're going to sing all the first three. Church, I'm so glad. Yes, ma'am.
That man said he's a Christian. If you could pray for his health, he's not doing well.
Pray for the painter. He's a believer, but he's got some health problems.
Yeah,
yes, we will indeed. Praise the Lord for that.
Oh,
yeah. All righty. Well, I think we've covered all the bases, folks. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. And open up to the book of 2 Timothy this morning. One last announcement, and that is the Grange folks are having a meeting this afternoon. But it's going to be in the activity room. And Hannah emailed me and said, don't worry, Pastor, you can leave the chairs and the pulpit up, everything. You don't have to break down because they're not going to be out here. So that won't affect us. And the other three dates that she emailed us on the birthday celebrations, those are all Saturdays. So we won't have to worry about those either. It won't affect us. All right. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And keep in mind, as we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, that this is Paul's final chapter. Amen? Paul, the year is 68 A.D. Paul is in the Mamertine prison in Rome. He's incarcerated under Nero, and he's about to be beheaded for preaching the gospel. So Paul is, these are like his final words to us in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And I'm so thankful this morning for the example of the Apostle Paul that he left us of faithful service to the King. Amen? Because we need to follow his example. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. As I follow the Lord. If I stop following the Lord, you keep on following him. Glory to God. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 5. Verse number 5. Now, Paul has just charged Timothy, the preacher boy, who he's trained up for ministry because Paul had a flight to catch to heaven. And he knew that the ministry had to be tended to, and he trained Timothy personally. He says in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Folks, I want to bring your attention to verse number 6 this morning, and I want to preach a message I've entitled, Crossing the Finish Line. Crossing the Finish Line. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for Paul in his final words that he could say, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. Lord, we're thankful for this godly example. And Lord, this world is standing in need of godly examples today. Because Lord, it seems like on the right hand, on the left, there's nothing but darkness and evil. And Father, we just pray that you would help us today in these darkest days of this dispensation, just prior to your return, to be those shining lights like the Apostle Paul was to this generation, holding forth the word of life, being faithful, finishing our course, keeping the faith. And Lord, we thank you ahead of time for all you're going to do through this message. I pray you'd encourage each and every one of us and make us what we ought to be through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, I want you to think about the marathon runner. Marathon runners, they run to finish, right? They prepare, they train, and they get ready to run the race. And when entering into a marathon, there is a goal that is set in the runner's mind months prior to the actual race. Much preparation, much exercise, much sacrifice has been paid by the athlete prior to that race. The next several hours of the race will be the payoff for all the training that was put in. Now, the marathon runner has to note the proper diet, the right running shoes to wear, the right type of training, the proper coaching to be a successful runner. And the main goal for the marathon runner is to cross the finish line. Amen? You run in order to finish that race. Now, listen carefully. As the day of the actual race approaches, the marathon runner is in full training, but has to actually slow down the amount of running in order to be healthy enough to run the race. He needs to make sure he is getting enough sleep, getting the right foods, cut his running to approximately 50% the final week of the race. At this point, it is noted that in the mind of the runner, doubt kicks in. Did I train enough for this race? Am I going to finish this race? Or will I place well in this race? He's concerned because he wants to finish that race. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning on crossing the finish line. Because you and I are in a race today. Amen? And the Bible says that we're to run boldly the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. I'm so glad that the focus of our mind and hearts is Jesus Christ. We can continue to run and we can finish this race as long as we keep our eyes focused on Him. Once we take our eyes off of Him, our goal is Jesus Christ and to please Him. And we put our eyes on man, we're heading for disaster. Right? Now, listen carefully. Six things I want to give you this morning and I'll be done. First, concerning crossing the finish line. First of all, notice that Paul was fighting a good fight. Look with me here in our text in verse number 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered." I love how Paul puts his death as a sacrifice to the Lord. Like I'm laying myself on the altar, you know. His whole life was a sacrifice to Jesus. "I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He understood that he was going home to be with Jesus. "I have fought a good fight." Paul could say in his final words, "I have fought a good fight." How many of you knows this morning that we are in a war? Christianity is no game. It's nothing to play with. You got to be serious because you're a soldier in the Lord's army and we are at war. We are not at war with people. Hello? So-and-so is not your enemy. We're not going to go beat somebody up, but we want to beat the devil up. We have invisible enemies, the powers of darkness, and we are at war. Paul says, "I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith." Now, the Apostle Paul compares Christians as soldiers, as a husbandman, as a sufferer, as a student, as a vessel, as a servant. But here, he is known as a soldier of the Lord. Now, Paul mentions three things in fighting the good fight. First, notice there is a fight to be fought. He says in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight." He says, listen, every Christian is going to have a fight to fight their own spiritual battles. It may be their own fleshly desires. It may be a trial that God has put them through. Or it may be a trial that someone else puts you through. But regardless of the fight, you will come out victorious, beloved, with your hands raised up in the air in victory. Because the war is already won. Don't worry about the little battles along the way. You'll be able to say, "I have fought a good fight," one day. Amen? And folks, I'm here to tell you, the rapture is about to hit. And very soon, I want to be able to say, "I fought a good fight by the power of Jesus Christ." Secondly, not only is there a fight to be fought, but secondly, there is a need to finish that fight. Look in verse 7. Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Wow! Do you realize this morning that you have a special plan and purpose from God to accomplish in your life? Only you. It's unique. It's different than anybody else's. And that course, you know what they do when they run a marathon? They run a course. And that course has markings along the way. And you have to run within those boundaries. And you have to finish that course. Paul says, verse 7, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. Now, the Apostle Paul said to walk by faith and not by sight. So finishing what has been started is the key to our spiritual success. Listen, it's not time to throw in the towel, church. It's not time to give up and quit on God. But stand up and take another step for Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You and I are without excuse for not finishing what God has called us to do. We are accountable because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Thirdly, concerning fighting the good fight. Not only is there a fight to be fought, not only is there a course to be finished, but Paul says there is a faith to be kept. There is a faith to be kept. I don't know about you, but I'm not giving up my faith for nobody. I'm not quitting trusting my Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Listen carefully. Paul says, our faith is the one thing that no man, including the devil, can take away from us. Why? Jesus gave it to me. Anything Jesus gives, you, it's yours. Now, you can lose everything else in your life, but you cannot lose your faith. It is a spiritual possession. The devil hates your faith. That's why Paul said, lift up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall quench every fiery dart of the wicked. By faith you overcome. By faith you conquer the enemy. Now, faith that has become embedded in our hearts by the Spirit of God will carry us through every physical and spiritual battle we face. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Amen? And faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God. I'm so thankful this morning for the faith that God gives. The Word of God increases our faith. The Word of God is a light unto our path. The Word of God is the gate to heaven. The Word of God is a guide for the youth. It's comfort for the aged. It's food for the hungry. It's water for the thirsty. It's rest for the weary. It's hope for the unbeliever. It's salvation to the sinner. It's grace for the Christian. You cannot reproduce it. You can only receive it. You cannot manufacture it. You can only redistribute it. And if you let it, it will create overcoming faith in your life. The Word of God. I'm so thankful for the weapon he's given, and I cannot lose because the Word of God is eternal. It liveth and abideth, and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't care what the devil throws at me. I got a sharper sword. I've got something to overcome it, the Word of God. Now, point number one this morning is fighting the good fight. We need to be soldiers in the Lord's army. But secondly, Paul says, not only must we fight the good fight, but we must finish his work. Amen? Look at it, verse 7. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Paul says, I've done the will of God. I've accomplished what Jesus Christ wrought in me by his Holy Spirit. Now, beloved, go with me to John chapter 4. Hold your place in 2 Timothy. John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ makes an incredible statement. In John chapter 4, you know, the woman of Samaria wins her to himself, and she goes and tells the whole town, I want to tell you what Jesus did for me. And watch what Jesus' disciples come to him. And he says, Lord, you know, they all went, you know, to McDonald's, they all ate. And they come back and they say, Lord, you haven't eaten. And Jesus makes an incredible statement. In verse number 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, if any man brought him aught to eat, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Hey, let me ask you a question, church, this morning. Are you glad that Jesus finished his course? Are you glad that Jesus finished the work that God the Father gave him to accomplish? I sure am. Because if he didn't, you and I would be damned. You and I'd have no hope. But he finished the work that the Father set before him. I love it. I'm so thankful that he did it. He said, two things here. He said, first, my meat is to do, my sustenance, my strength, if you will, is to do the will of him that sent me. You know where you'll get strength and spiritual power? Doing his will. Serving the Lord. You will be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man when you're doing His will. Why should He give His power to someone who sits on the bench, never gets in the game, never gets involved, he's not even in a uniform? You know? But those who are busily rolling up the sleeves and serving Jesus Christ, He's going to empower and He's going to work through them. Oh, I love it. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. When the cyclist competes in a race, he's given a small cup of water to keep him going. That same cup of water can be compared to a drink at the altar of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Living water that keeps you going in the race. Secondly, Jesus said not only to do His will, but to finish His work. In verse 34, to finish His work. Now, the work that we are called to do is to spread the gospel, to be in prayer for others, to be a servant unto the house of God. God has called each one of us to a specific duty to accomplish in our lives. And God places us and uses us the same way a chess player uses his pieces during a game of chess. Strategically. Very strategically. You have a sphere of influence that I don't have. God's placed you there. Amen? And God is going to use you and finish His work. The fivefold use of the Word of God is thus. Hold it, that is, hide it in your heart, that we may not sin against God. Study it, that is, minister to yourself through study of the Word daily. Apply it, that is, put it into action in your life. Rightly divide it, that is, don't let false doctrines come your way. Fifthly, preach it, that is, take the gospel to the streets, your workplace, your lost family members, wherever. Amen. The Word of God has a fivefold ministry. I'm so thankful. But thirdly, this morning, we must be laying aside every weight. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. If you're going to run this race, you're going to have to get rid of some stuff. What? That's right. It takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. Listen, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore? Seeing we, beloved, also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the what?
Race.
Race that is set before us. Now, I see a number of things we need to do here. First of all, we need to lay certain things aside. Look at it. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, what is a weight? This takes an examination from ourselves, amen, to look at what's going on the inside, to see what is going on in my life that is not necessary. What is going on in my life that is slowing me down from running a good race? What is keeping me from serving the Lord completely? What is preventing me from being a hundredfold Christian? Am I satisfied with being 50-fold, 40-fold, 30-fold? I don't know about you, but I don't want to rest in that. I want to be a hundredfold for my Lord. And in order to do that, I need to examine my life and see what it is that I need to cut out of my life that I may be more effective for Jesus Christ. Folks, if there's ever a time that the church needs to wake up and lay aside the weights, it's today. We don't have any time left. We need to make every day count for Jesus Christ. First, lay aside every weight. Only God and ourselves know what is weighing us down. It will take prayer to get even further down to diagnose the spiritual dryness or callousness that can be affecting our souls. And we need to be honest with ourselves. Amen? Secondly, he says, not only we need to lay aside every weight that doth beset us, but we need to run this race with what?
Patience.
With patience. The race that is set before us. Now, the marathon runner, think with me. He has to pace himself in order to run the distance 26.2 miles. He has to be careful not to start too fast, that he may tire too quickly. And he must not start off too slowly, that he falls way behind the pack. So he has to be patient in his running. Amen? He has to use wisdom and discretion in the race. He has to be thinking. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receiveth the prize? So run ye that ye may obtain. Paul says, I want to run like I'm going for the gold. That was in Greece 2,000 years ago. The Olympics were even going on then. And Paul says, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, he says, we run for the Lord to obtain an incorruptible crown. Wow, how much more motive do you and I have to serve the Lord than those Olympic? You know what really impresses me? These Olympic athletes. They spend their entire lives training for one race, for one chance to win the gold. And it means everything to them. Oh, can we learn a lesson from those guys and gals, huh? If we would only commit to serving Jesus Christ the way they commit to running for a corruptible gold medal. Wow, what we could accomplish for God. Listen carefully. The Apostle Paul is comparing the born-again Christian here to a marathon runner. The word rendered patience in verse 1 rather means perseverance. Perseverance. No, we're not Calvinists. We don't believe in the doctrine of perseverance, that you persevere to the end in order to be saved. No, we persevere because we're saved. Amen? I want to keep on going for Jesus because he already saved me. Glory to God. That's perseverance. That word patience. He's saying persevere in that race. Don't quit. Listen now. We are to run the race without allowing ourselves to be hindered by any obstructions and without giving out or fainting in the way. Encouraged by the example of the multitudes that have run this same race before us, we are to persevere as they did to the end. Hebrews chapter 11, previous to this verse we just read, is the Hebrews Hall of Faith. All of the great men and women of God, women of faith that lived and died in faith. And he says, we have so great a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Keep on going for Jesus. Don't quit. Keep on preaching. Keep on giving out gospel tracts. Keep on praying. Keep on teaching that Sunday school class, whatever it might be. I'm so thankful this morning that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Revelation 22:14, don't turn there. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. You know what he's saying? He's saying people who serve God and don't quit, they're going to have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're going to be so thrilled when we finally make it to heaven that we didn't quit. We didn't throw in the towel. We didn't stop serving Jesus Christ. The race that is set before us, when the marathon is about to begin, the course is laid out for the runners. The map is already in place. The course is mapped out. It's marked out. The same thing applies for the born-again runner. God has placed a spiritual roadmap before us to follow. All we got to do is run between the cones that he has set up. Amen? It's all here. All you got to do is read it and do it. The marathon runner follows cones, pylons, and other signs to keep his direction straight. The Christian runner needs prayer, the Word of God, and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to follow the path that God has laid before him or her. I remember when I was a little boy, I was a Cub Scout. I loved the Cub Scout. Then I was a Weebelo. And when I was in the Weebelos, we had chariot races in the summertime. We'd all, from all over the state, we'd get together in a big stadium, you know. And we'd have chariot races. And we'd make our own chariot, you know, with the wheels. And I was always the little guy, the little scrawny guy. So I would be the driver of the chariot, right? And you'd have three guys pulling the chariot, you know, fellow Weebelos. And we get out there. We say, guys, we're going to win this year. We're going to win. I want you guys to run like you've never run. So I get up in my chariot. Here we go. The bell rings and we all take off. There's like eight chariots. We're all running around. The fans, the parents are screaming and the things. And we won the race. We run the race. We're like so thrilled. You're like, well, I finally won, you know. But you know what? It was a great feeling to finish in first place. Like we really worked hard to do it. And our Cub Master took us out for ice cream afterwards. And just, you know, that was the best part. But what a ball. That's how it is in the Christian life. We're in a race. Amen? And we want to give it all we've got. We don't want to go half-heartedly, church. Fourthly, this morning, quickly. He says we need to be, back in chapter 12, verse 1. While we're doing this, look at verse 2. while we're running the race, patiently looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, this is really important. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author or creator and finisher of our faith. Did you see that? Jesus Christ, faithful is he that begun a good work in you, who also will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He, Jesus, is the author of our faith. And he is the one who gave us saving faith, and he is going to perfect that. Amen? He's going to perfect it. Look, it says, who for the joy that was set before him. Time out, church. This verse is talking about the cross. And it says the joy that was set before Jesus. What joy? The cross? No. The cross was no joy. You and I. You and I. His going to the cross gave him joy, knowing that it would save you and me. Wow! Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, looking unto Jesus in verse 1, the Greek word for looking is aphoruntes. It means, listen, those who ran were to keep their eyes fixed on the mark of the prize. They must keep the goal in view. That's what that Greek word means. To keep your focus on the prize. And as long as we keep our focus on Jesus Christ, we're not going to fail. We're going to keep on going, church. Now, he's saying that they should place all their hope and confidence in Jesus Christ as their sole helper in this race of faith. You are in a race, not of works. It's a race of faith. Amen? How's your faith doing this morning, church? How is your faith? Is it healthy and vibrant and shining? Or is it dark and dim and just about to go out? We need a healthy faith. And because Jesus is the author of that faith, as we look unto him, he strengthens it. And he increases it. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning for that. He's our helper in this race of faith. Listen, secondly, that they should consider him, Jesus, as their leader in this contest and imitate his example. It says that ye should follow in his steps. What did he do? He said, I finished the work the Father gave me to do. We're to follow his steps of doing his will and finishing his work. Every one of us has been assigned particular work to do. Every one of us. If you're saved, if you're born again, you have a job to do. You know, I love the fact that there's no unimportant members of the body of Christ. I love that. I love that. Every single one of you is important. You know why? Because you have a race to run that God has divinely appointed to you personally. And look what he says in verse 2. He is the author and what? Finisher. That's archegos. Archegos, the finisher of our faith. This signifies a general, a captain, or a leader. He is the captain of my faith. He's the leader or general of our faith. It means he's in control of it. He's in charge. The reference here is to a judge in the games. One whose business it was to admit the contenders and to give the prize to the conqueror. Jesus is here represented as this officer. Every Christian is a contender in this race of life, and eternal life is what we already possess. Amen? The heavenly course has been begun. It's being run. Listen, you're running under the banner of the cross. You're running under Jesus Christ, your master. Under him, this race will be completed. Why? Because it says he is the author, the creator, and the finisher of our faith. He will finish it by awarding the prize to them that are faithful. Amen? Now, he is the finisher, awarding and giving prizes at the end of the race. If you win, you receive a reward. Now, we're not running the race to win a reward. We're running the race because we love our commander. Amen? I'm so glad that we don't have to come in first place. We just have to finish, like Paul. Now, it says, thirdly, in verse 2, that he is set down at the right hand of God. Listen now. Jesus Christ is exalted to the highest place in the universe of dignity and honor. Jesus endured the most severe sufferings to which the human frame could be subjected. And the form of death, which is regarded as the most shameful and most painful in the world. So during all the severe trials to which you are exposed on account of your belief in him, patiently endure all for the glorious rewards, the eternal happiness, and the never-ending triumph of heaven. And all it is before you. I am so thankful this morning. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Hear what Peter said? He said, you who are running the race, there's something very special. You've got a reservation up yonder. It's waiting for you. Can you imagine? The Lord was a carpenter, and he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine how glorious our mansions are going to be? He is a builder. Oh, man. 2,000. Yeah, me too. I love those. 2,000 years he's been working on your mansion. Woo, that's going to be good. All right, we've seen first that we must fight the good fight. We've seen second, we must finish the course. Thirdly, we saw that we must lay aside every weight. Fourthly, we must be looking unto Jesus. Fifthly, we must be forgetting those things which are behind. Go to Philippians chapter 3. All this is important if you're going to run a good race. There's some certain things that we need to forget about. We need to let go. In Philippians chapter 3, look with me at verse 13. Verse 12, Paul says, not as though I had already attained. Paul said, my course is not finished yet. Either were already perfect, glorified, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Light. He says, I'm reaching forward. I'm forgetting certain things which are in my past. Oh, beloved, how we need this message this morning. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to hang a guilt trip over your head and say, I know what you did in 1968. Oh, I know what you did when you were in high school. Well, goody goody, it's under the blood. Amen. I don't have to worry about that. It's washed. It's gone forever. I'm so thankful that we don't have to fret our past because Jesus Christ has taken care of that. Now, Paul says this one thing I do. Paul had one great aim. Listen, he had one great purpose in his life. He did not attempt to mingle the world and Christianity and to gain both. He only wanted one. Someone said, a man will accomplish little who allows his mind to be distracted by a multiplicity of objects. A Christian will accomplish nothing who has not a single great aim and purpose of soul to glorify God. Amen? Our purpose must be fixed. David said, my heart is fixed, O God. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have to have faith to believe that God can do what I cannot. Forgetting, look what he says, forgetting those things which are behind. When running to secure a prize, he would not stop to look behind him to see how much ground he had run over, or to see who of his competitors have fallen or lingered away, or who was gaining ground on him. He would keep his eyes steadily on the prize before him and strain every nerve that he might obtain that prize. You know, if you're running in a race and you turn around to look, see who's behind you, you know what's going to happen? You're going to trip and fall, and you're going to be out of the race. You're going to lose the race. That's why we got to keep looking forward and keep on going for Jesus Christ. If his attention was diverted for even a moment from it, it would hinder his flight and might be the means of his losing the crown. So the Apostle Paul says it was with him. He looked onward, forward to the prize set before him. I love that in verse 13. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 14 is the rapture. Somebody's getting a calling up high. High calling, come up hither. Yeah, it's rapture time in verse 14. And Paul says, that's what I'm pressing toward. That's what I'm reaching forward to. I love the wording. Reaching forth to. That's great stuff right there. Now, he did not stop to think of the difficulties which he had overcome, or the troubles which he had yet met. But he thought of what was yet to be accomplished. Amen? He thought of the goal. He thought of what it would be like once he finished the race and was graduated to heaven above. Wow! What a thought. Hebrews 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Why do we have to walk after the Spirit? Because if we don't, our ugly past will creep up on us and take over. We all got a past. The devil knows our weaknesses. And therefore, we must be looking forward. Reaching forth, he says. Epectinominus. That's stretching out after the things in front of you. With hand and foot, like a runner in a race. The body bent forward. You ever seen a photo finish in a race? Particularly in a horse race. Say, he won by a nose. You know, they have to have a photo finish. Because the race, they finish so close together that the other horse just edged him out by the tip of his nose, you know. That's how it is with us. We're in that race, and we want to finish that race. Christians are humbled by the contrast between what they are and what they desire to be. I'm so glad I'm not what I was, but I'm so glad that I'm stretching forth to what he wants me to be. Amen? Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, as Christians, we should always strive to reach to a higher stage of sanctification, of deeper revelation in the Word, stronger sensitivity of the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives in prayer, amen, and seeking His face. We need to be striving and going onward and upward. 1 Peter 4:16, listen, yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You know what Peter's saying? He's saying, on your worst day, everything's going wrong. Glorify God that you're suffering for His name. You're now suffering for righteousness' sake, not for sin. Sixthly, and finally, he says we must be pressing toward the mark. Look at it in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes. As we run this race, one day a trumpet will blow and we'll all be called up yonder. Think of it. Think of it. I am so thankful for the blessed hope of His glorious appearing that we're going up. We're going to be with the Lord. Paul says, I press. That Greek word means to pursue with diligence as he who was running a race did. The mark means properly the object set up at a distance at which one looks or aims at, and hence the goal or post which was set up at the end of the race course and which was to be reached in order that the prize might be won. Here, it means that which is at the end of the Christian race in heaven. The goal, the prize, it's heaven. It's Jesus Christ in heaven. I remember in 1977, I was in boot camp in the Navy, and we had marksman competition, right? And we had 83 guys in my company and 85 guys in my, we call our sister company, 168 guys altogether. And in the marksman, I had, you know, rifles and I used to go shooting all the time. And so I was really looking forward to that, you know. Well, I came in number one out of 186. I'm like, what? What? How did I do that? What I did is you have to shoot in three positions. You have to shoot freestanding, you have to shoot kneeling, and then you have to shoot lying down. Well, nothing you do with freestanding. You just got to hold it as steady as you can. But kneeling, I used my knee. And lying down, I used the ground. And I focused in. the crosshairs, took a deep breath, let it out slowly, and pulled the trigger. And I won. I won. Why? Because I had the right aim. I was aiming at the bullseye. And this is how we have to run this race, folks. Then the commander approached me and he said, Oliver, you want to be a Navy SEAL? I weighed 111 pounds. I was a little stripling, weakling like David, you know? And he says, you want to be a Navy SEAL? And I said, what? And I said, I'm the smallest guy in either company. Why would you ask me that? And he said, because you can kill people from a long way off.
They wanted me because I could shoot. But I said, no thanks.
But folks, this is how we have to run. We have to take aim, and we have to stay focused on that bullseye. Now, how about this? Okay, I'm ready to shoot in the marksman competition. I raise my rifle, and I'm, hey, Joe, how you doing? Boom, boom, boom. Oh, yeah, good. How was those eggs? Good this morning? Yeah, man. You know, I'm shooting, pulling the trigger. I'm not looking. I'm not going to win anything. You got to pay attention and look at the bullseye. What I'm saying is keep focused, church. Keep your eye on that mark, Paul said. And finally, he says, for the prize. Look at it. For the prize, verse 14, of the high calling. The prize we are running for is the high calling of God. It's the crown of rejoicing. It's the crown that is incorruptible. It's the crown of glory. And it's the crown of life. 1 Peter 5:4. Peter said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What you're going to receive, folks, will last forever and ever. In closing, let me give you this. I remember the Boston Marathon was run last month. In the Boston Marathon, we had more runners in the Boston Marathon this year than ever before in the history of the marathon. Those dumb terrorists thought that they could ruin our marathon. Well, I got news for them. One is dead, the other one's in prison on death row. But we're still running the marathon. And there was a man that ran that marathon, Andrew Jones, from Taunton, Massachusetts. He has muscular dystrophy. And the last man to finish that marathon was Andrew Jones. 23 hours, 16 minutes after the race began, Andrew Jones crossed that finish line to a roar, a crowd that waited all night for Andrew to make it. And guess what? He crossed the finish line. He was on the news. This man, he could hardly walk, but he finished the race. What's your excuse? Muscular dystrophy. And the guy ran a marathon. And he said, I don't care how long it takes me, I'm going to finish. And here he comes, hobbling across the finish line. Some of us may have to hobble across the finish line, but finish the race. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Paul's example of crossing the finish line. Lord, how we thank you this morning that just like Paul, we have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same grace of Jesus Christ. We have the same inner strength that Paul had in order to finish our course. Lord, I love what he said. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. Lord, thank you that every person in this church this morning and every person under the sound of my voice is able to finish the Christian race because of the author and finisher of our faith. It's because of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ working in and through his children. We're so grateful this morning, Lord, that by the grace of Christ Jesus our Lord, we're going to finish this Christian race. We're going all the way. We're not quitting. We're not throwing in the towel, devil. We're serving notice today that we are in this race to stick with it. We are in this race to run with patience. And we are in this race to finish it. To finish it. Lord, I'm so glad that you didn't quit. I'm so glad that you finished the work the Father gave you to do. And each one of us have an obligation, an accountability, and a responsibility to finish the work you've given us to do. Lord, I'm so grateful this morning that by thy grace we can. In Jesus' holy name we pray. The people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our hymnals this morning. for a time of invitation. Maybe there's something this morning that the Lord is calling you to do that needs to be finished, that needs to be stuck with, that needs to be done in your life for the glory of God. And as we have this time of invitation, let's open up, let's stand, and we'll open up our hymnals to 358. Here's the key to finishing what the Lord gives us to do. 358. It's faith which worketh by love. Love. More love to thee. And we're going to sing all three. Oh, how I love the words of this old hymn of the faith. Love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to now. Once earthly joys I crave, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee. On the third, then shall my latest breath whisper thy be the parting cry my heart shall raise. Think about it, church. If still its breath shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More amen. Praise the Lord, church. Thank you so much for being in God's house this morning. And don't forget, you've got a race to run today. Amen. And by the grace of God, we'll run it in victory to the end. Praise the Lord. Brother Kyle, dismiss us in prayer.
We thank you once again, Lord, that we can gather in your sight. We can hear your word, Lord. We can be fed through your word. We thank you for the preacher you provide for us and that you've blessed him to bring forth what we need. We ask you now, Lord, as we go forth from this building today, that you'll keep us on the course that you've set for us and help us to stay within the boundaries and follow the race to the end, Lord. Give us the courage and the strength to make that race. We ask you to watch over and guide us, keep us safe, and bring us back another time for, again to meet with you. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.